Proverbs. Go to Proverbs chapter 5. Do you realize a lost person would be a better person if they followed the book of Proverbs? They'd still be lost and they're still going to go to hell without Jesus Christ, but they'd be a better person. Matthew chapter 24, you go through there, the Beatitudes of Jesus Christ. If somebody who wasn't even a Christian followed those things, they would be a better person. You know, there's good people in hell. There's really bad people in heaven. Amen. The book of Proverbs, there's a lot of do's and don'ts, but man, that's just good application to anything. Your marriage, your life, as we're going through the family. If everybody in the home would apply the book of Proverbs to their life, the book of wisdom, you'll have a better family. You can never go wrong doing opposite of the Bible. Amen. Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 15. I'm going to read a couple verses here. We're studying on the home. We just came out of family revival, but I've been teaching on the home on Wednesday nights for a few years now, off and on. And we're going to continue tonight, and we're talking about the husband. And we're dealing with the husband first. And we know through the study and through the order that God has for the home that everything is going to start with the husband. Now, after the husband might have everything right in his life before God, and everything else fall apart after that. That might happen. But we're talking to the husband first, and it's going to start with him. And we're going to get to the ladies later and the children. But we're talking to the husband first. We know that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's also the head of the family. He ought to be. He ought to be number one in the family. He's not a guest in the house. He ought to be a resident in the house. He's not a guest that's invited to leave after you get done praying for your meal so you can watch whatever you want and talk about whatever you want. He's somebody that lives there. He should be in a Christian's home. In a Christian's home, his word ought to be seen in the house. And we've gone over a lot of things. And if you want to go back and listen to some of them, I cannot recap or we'll never get done. But we've been going for quite a while on the home. And we're talking about the husband and the pattern of the home. You have Christ, the husband, the wife, the children, the dog, the cat, the goldfish. All right, in the order of the home. I heard this the other day. My wife actually told me about it. And I thought it was good. And I'm going to use it as illustrations in the future. They said a dog looks at the human being that it belongs to and says, "You feed me, you pet me, you love me. You must be God." The cat looks at its owner and says, "You feed me, you pet me, you love me, I must be God." She told me that after our precious cat, I was walking up the stairs with an armful of things, and that cat was not going to move. It'll move next time. But I said, "That dumb cat, it won't move, it just lays there." And she's like, "Yeah, that cat's universe doesn't revolve around us. We revolve around its universe." That's how, you know how cat is. Crazy cat. So children, dog, cat, goldfish. That's the order of the home. I think that's in the Bible somewhere. And so, first of all, we don't have to deal with what Jesus should do, because he's going to do what he's supposed to do. Amen? He is. He is the truth, and he is the way and the life. So we're dealing with the husband, and so we talked about the husband is completed by his wife. And we've gone through scripture on all these and went over them. I can't rehash them. We've talked about that he's supposed to be an example to his wife and to his family. Not do it because I said so, but do it because I said so and I'm living this way also. In a Christian's home, the husband ought to lead by example. If you want your wife and children to get in their Bible and read their Bible and to submit, you need to submit to God and read your Bible. And you need to be praying. He's to be his wife's companion, to be her friend. He's to be his wife's leader, to lead his home. And I can't rehash all this stuff, but you know, you got to go back and listen to it. He is to meet the needs of his wife, to meet all of her needs. He's supposed to protect his wife. And that's against everything. Spiritual, physical, mental, emotional. He is to protect his wife and his children and his family. And that is knowing who her friends are, knowing what she listens to, knowing what she watches on television. That's protecting your family, knowing your children, what they're doing. Amen? In the Proverbs 31 woman, it talks about her husband's heart rests with her, that it trusts her. Amen? And the only way that can happen is if he knows exactly what's going on in her life. And that's what he ought to do. He ought to protect his family and his home. I hear people talk about their kids that way, and that's true, but it goes the same with the wife. And you need to love her and respect her enough to live right and do right. Amen? Well, I amen myself. I'll do that tonight if I have to. But I'm going to talk about tonight a subject, honestly, is uncomfortable, but it's in the Scripture. But I'm going to talk tonight and next week, and I'm going to deal a lot. I'm going to talk about divorce. And I realize who I'm preaching to tonight. We have several couples and families and individuals that have been divorced, and I understand that. But the Bible's still Bible, right? And so I'm going to be dealing with that, and I know it might be uncomfortable, but I'm going to try to give you some scripture on it. And I'm going to show you probably next week or in a couple weeks some scriptural grounds the Bible has for divorce. But every divorce that happens is because either one or two parties have hardened their heart against God. I'm going to show you a verse on that. They've hardened their heart against God. All right. And I'll show you that here in just a I don't know if I'll make it to it tonight. But the point I want to make tonight is the husband. We're talking about the pattern for the home. The husband is only for his wife. All right. We're talking about the pattern of the home. The husband is only for his wife. All right. I know we've got some younger kids in here. I don't think I'll say anything that they haven't probably watched on television somewhere. I hope not. Amen. Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 15. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15. If you're there, say amen. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. He said, what's this talking about, Brother Andrew? Keep reading. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them only be thine own, and not strangers with thee. What are we talking about, Brother Andrew? Keep reading. Verse 18, let thy fountains be blessed, and rejoice with the what? With the wife of thy youth. What are we talking about here? We're talking about a husband and wife. We're talking about a wife. The husband is only for his wife. Part of a husband's provisions for his family is to meet all the needs of his wife. And his wife alone. Amen? And his wife alone. He is only for his wife. And nobody else. He's not for anybody else's wife. And I understand that the culture that we live in today, it's all backwards. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean, young people today will live with and sleep with whomever until they decide whether or not they want to get married, and they'll have children. They'll do the whole things backwards. And then they can get to a point where they decide, well, this really wasn't working out anyway. And they don't feel like they're breaking any kind of vows because they never had any vows. But God is not pleased with that at all. And anything other than a man and a woman coming together as one in marriage, anything other than biblical relationship as marriage, is immoral, and it's a sin, and it's either fornication or adultery. So if someone's living that way, that's what they're living in. All right? Now, I realize there's some, like I said in here, that have been divorced and have gone through some things. And I realize that there's some that, man, you can't even go to church if you've been divorced. And I don't think that's right either. Now, you've disqualified yourself from some things. That's just, we'll go over some of that stuff. Amen. But I'm here to tell you tonight that if you've messed up, do like David did. David committed adultery. David sinned great against God, and he came before God and he admitted his wrongdoing and said, "Lord, I'm sorry. I messed up." And he picked himself up, asked God to forgive him, and went on to serve God. We find out later on that David's told by God, "You're not allowed to build my house. You're a man of war. You're a bloody man. You had a man killed for adultery purposes. No, you can't build my house." So you know what David did? I preach this for Father's Day. You know what David did? He said, "All right, I can't build it, but my kids can." And he began to get all the things together and all the material together. And he began to get all the workers together. He got the blueprints together. And he handed it to his son and said, "Go serve God. I messed up." You know where that son came from? His adulterous relationship. God fixed it. God, you said, did it take away what David had done? No, David still sinned and messed up. And he had to pay for it. But I don't agree with some of these preachers that get up and they say, "Man, if you've been divorced, you can't come to church. If you've been divorced, you cannot lead in silent prayer." But they'll take their money. If they really feel that way, tell them they can't tithe. Amen? Now I realize that, you know, when it comes to qualification, there's some things there. And let me say this too. And you take it for whatever it's worth. If you don't like it, you know, whatever. But the qualifications over there in Timothy for a bishop, those qualifications are to call a pastor. They're not to disqualify a pastor. You say, "What do you mean by that?" There's nowhere in the scripture where a church disqualifies a pastor. God does it. God will kill him or move him out of the way some other way. If you don't like a church and you don't like something that happens, what do? You leave peaceably and go somewhere else. Amen? Those qualifications given over there are for calling a pastor. For calling a pastor, calling a bishop into a position. They're not for disqualifying a pastor. You say, "What do you mean by that?" Well, I mean, sometimes there's pastors that they start pastoring a church, and years go by, and maybe one of their adult kids goes crazy on them. But then the church wants to get up and say, "Well, you can't rule your own home." And so they kick them out of the church. Amen? You don't know what's going to happen with your kids. You raise them right, and you hope they do right. Amen? And some of these preachers, and I know I'm a young preacher, I've got young kids, and I can get up and say, "Bless God," all day long, but one day my kids are going to grow up and they're going to make a decision for themselves whether or not they're going to serve God. And they might not choose. I pray they do, and I'm going to try to instill it into them. And if you do that, it'll never leave them. It'll always be in there. Amen. But they might choose to do whatever they want to do. There's a lot of preachers. I've seen them get up and bless God this. And if you've lost your home or you've gone through this or whatever, and you lost control of your kids and you need to get out of the ministry, all this kind of stuff. And then when that happens to their kids, all of a sudden it's a different story. Amen. We're all just a bunch of sinners saved by the grace of God. And if you ever get somewhere, I mean, I hope everybody stays in this church. Man, Brother Bynes, you're going to go pastor one day, get out there. Amen. He's going to have people coming to his church. You know what? If somebody comes along and they say, "Well, I don't like this about his home," then get up and go somewhere else that you can follow. Don't stay and cause problems. None of that is in here. Husband is only for his wife and nobody else. Verse 15, he says, "Drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well." A man is to have his own wife. He's not to look for any other wife or other woman. Amen. It blows my mind to hear of couples and families that are married and one ends up leaving their spouse to go for somebody else because they think it's greener pastures or whatever. And sometimes you'll see those situations and say, "Man, that guy's an idiot. Man, his wife is beautiful and she's a sweet lady and you're going to leave to go after this strange woman? Have you lost your mind? Are you crazy?" Amen. here it's saying that they need to have their own wife. Don't go looking for another water cistern to drink out of or other running waters. Amen, your own wife. There in verse 16 it says the fountains. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. You say, what's that? That's a man's children. That's a man's children that he has. Verse 17 says, the wife of thy youth. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that she's still young. In this particular passage, it means the one that you married when you were young. And I realize there's some that may be married later on in life or married one that wasn't so young. And she still needs to be your only wife. That doesn't mean you go looking for a younger one. Amen? And I realize all this stuff that we teach here on Wednesday nights is contrary to the world. But this book is contrary to the world. It's contrary to the world systems. The wife of thy youth. So husband is for only for his wife. Look at Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. We're dealing with the husband's responsibility in the home, and his responsibility is to his wife to meet her needs. Specifically, not just the family. She's supposed to do that as well, but hers. And you do that at the house, taking care of her. Proverbs 31, verse 11. If you're there, say amen. All right, Proverbs 31, 11. The heart, I quoted this earlier, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. You say, what's that talking about? This verse is talking about here, this man has no need to go into any other woman to have his needs met. He has no need to go anywhere else. Right? Because his heart, the heart of her husband, doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. And I don't have to go into any of that for y'all to understand what I'm talking about, I don't think. Amen. If you don't understand, Brother Heitch will sit down with you right after church. A husband is for his own wife. Amen? And husband, if your wife is trusting you and you're providing for him, amen, he has no business going anywhere else. And let me say this, if she's not, you still have no business going anywhere else. You need to pray for her that she gets her heart right with God. Amen? She needs to pray for him that he gets his heart right. There's no business, but don't put him in a situation where the devil can even deceive him with any of those thoughts. Amen? You writing notes down, Brother Heitch, for afterwards? All right. I told y'all this was uncomfortable. Our marriages are messed up. We have young couples in here that have already had to go through divorce. And I hate it. And I know they're saying for it. I'm talking about young couples. Amen. But it's just what it is. They've gone through some things and you say, what do? You pick up where you're at and you make things right and move on and do right now. Do right moving forward. God's blessed you and God's given you a good mate and a good home. Don't mess it up. Provide for the needs of your wife and the needs. And one of her needs is to have you there. To know that you're there for her. Turn to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall what? Cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. again, I'm not gonna go into any detail. I'm reading all these verses to you, and I hope you get the picture. A man's supposed to cleave unto his wife. What are the vows? To have and to what? To hold. Amen. A man needs to meet the needs of his wife. And that doesn't always mean what you want to do. Sometimes that's just holding her. Amen. Y'all are making this awkward for me. I'm making it awkward for you. Hope you get the picture. Amen. Well, don't paint any pictures, but I hope you get what I'm trying to say. To cleave unto his wife, to have and to hold. I'm not saying it's right, because it's not. It's a sin and it's wrong. But do you know how many ladies today are in marriages where they wish their husband would just hold them? They wish their husband would just listen to them. They wish their husband was just there with them. Do you know how many ladies there are tonight that will be going to bed and their idiot husband is playing video games till 2 o'clock in the morning instead of going to lay with their wife? Grown men playing video games till 3 o'clock in the morning, and all their wife has asked them to do is come spend time with them. It's destroying marriages everywhere. I say that, people aren't getting married anymore. They need to. If not, they're living in sin. Turn to Ecclesiastes 9:9. I'm sure some of y'all could give, that you know, grown men. I'm talking about adults, license carrying, boating, got children, that'll stay up playing video games and will not go to bed with their wife. If you don't, I know several. I don't understand it. I don't understand why a man would want to be with a man. I never will. I don't understand why a man would rather be with a video game than with his wife. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9. Live what? Joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life and in thy labor, which thou takest under the sun. Live joyfully with thy wife, with the wife. Now, you realize that our earthly life, the majority of every one of us, our earthly life is vanity. Go read the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, saith the preacher. Not this preacher, Ecclesiastes. But I'll echo it. It's all vanity. You know, Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, all, you know what that is? That's vanity. You want people to know what you're thinking. You want them to know what you're doing, and you want them to know what you look like. And most of the pictures are fake, because you can doctor them up now when you take a picture. That's not even the real you. You're a hypocrite, like we talked about Sunday. Amen? That's not really what you look like. Got all the filters and all that kind of stuff. You know what all that is? That's all vanity. And so we realize that most of our life is vanity. We dress. All the things we do, we like to eat. It's all for vanity, 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 vanity. Only what's done for the Lord will last. So your life, we understand most of it's vanity, but whatever you do for God is what's going to last. Whatever kind of Christian home you have and investments you put into your family, making sure they're at family revival, making sure they're around the things of God, doing devotions, reading Bible at church and Sunday school, all those things, that you try to make sure you're invested in their future so you have some treasures in heaven. Because everything you do in this life does not last. But our earthly life is largely vanity, but the good portion for a man in this life There's two things found here in this verse. One is to live joyfully with his wife and to love her. Live joyfully with his wife. And the second thing we find at the end of that verse, and in thy labor which thou hast takest under the sun. You say, what overall is a good life? Living out your life joyfully with your wife and your labor, your work, your ministry, whatever it is God's given you to do, your work. And let me say this, if you're saved, we all have a part in ministry. We're supposed to. That's what's so important about the local church. You get in the local church, you join the local church, you get involved with the ministries of the local church. If you're saved, you're enlisted for the ministry, but most people are AWOL. Absent without leave when it comes time to do things for God. So the good portion for a man in this life here, because it says, for that is thy portion in this life. What is thy portion in this life? Living joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest, and also in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. So a good portion, the two things being the portion in this life. A man should enjoy his wife and should enjoy his work. You say, I hate my job. Well, pray God gives you another one. Something, amen. I don't know anybody that just says, I absolutely love my job. But you got to do it, amen. You got to work. Don't be a bum. It's not the government's job to feed your children. Amen. Get a job. Sometimes it takes two jobs or three jobs. If you do right, live right, tithe right, do all those things right, God will bless you and eventually you won't have to work three jobs. I've seen it time and time again. I've seen it in my life. My wife had to work full time when we first got married. We both did. Thankfully, we figured out early, had some good preaching and good training from our parents, that you give. Even if you don't have the money to give, you give. You can give your way out of debt. You say, I don't believe it. Try God. Nobody in here can stand up and say, hey, we tithe like we're supposed to, and we give the missions, we do the things like we're supposed to, and God gave us a raw deal. Nobody can say that. Amen? Nobody can say that. Sometimes people put themselves in compromising positions for buying too much stuff than what they can pay for. That's not God's fault. So what do? Sell it. Sell something. Amen? Anytime somebody comes to me and they say, well, we can't afford to do this. You know, the first thing I tell them, and there's probably people in this room that'll tell you, that I'll tell them, sell something. Go sell something. Amen. You know, when I'm telling you these things, I'm not bragging on me. God's been good to our family. When we first started, we only had one vehicle. Sarah took me to work and dropped me off, and she drove. I was working downtown Birmingham, and then she drove to work. All of our friends had two or three vehicles, but guess what? They're still in debt today over those things. All of our vehicles are paid for right now. We started out with one that she had to take me back and forth. And was it miserable? Could we have gone in debt? Probably. But if we did that, we wouldn't be able to tithe or give to missions like we're supposed to. Amen. And now I have three and I only need two. Amen. So what's that? God's been good. And we're able to tithe and give to missions. What is thy portion in life? Enjoy your wife, enjoy your work. You know what most people do? They hate their job and they hate their wife. The average Christian, we have probably a Christian home, who knows? The average home, their marriage is miserable and they hate their job. And they're going to die that way unless God does something. You know that job that you might hate? If you just give your life to God and do it for His pleasure and for His glory like we're supposed to work, He might just turn your attitude around. You might just be running the place before too long. You never know. Never know. Just trust Him. A man should enjoy those things. But it's sad. I pray that nobody in here watches the filth that comes on television at night. They make fun of the family and the God-ordained home every night on those shows. They make fun of them. There's sodomites in them. If there is a man, he's a weak-wristed man who does not stand up for right in his family. The kids do whatever they want. They talk back to their parents. I don't know how it is now because I haven't seen it in a long time, but I know Disney shows, the children are always talking back to their parents. There's little cartoons with cartoon characters, and they're talking back to their mom and dad. And they're doing stuff. And those Disney shows, almost every episode, the kid is getting into some kind of trouble he's not supposed to be in, and the whole episode is him trying to figure out how to get out of trouble without his parents ever finding out about it. And they're lying, and they're deceiving, and they're talking back. And at the end of the show, they're one big happy family. Is that not what our society looks like today? Go to Walmart. Go stand at the Summerton Walmart and watch people. It'll make you mad. I'm not doing it no more before I preach. Let me say this. In this verse, it gives us kind of the order of things. The job should not come before your wife. And I understand sometimes you have to work and sometimes you've got to work two or three jobs. I understand that. But in your free time, make time for your wife. Meet the needs of your wife. Amen. And wife, if he's got to work two or three jobs, be reasonable with him. Amen. I'm not preaching on the wives yet. Go to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. We find the order, the proper, correct order when it comes to your home with your wife and your work found in this verse. One verse. Genesis chapter 26, verse 25. You there? Say amen. All right. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servant digged a well. You say, what's the order? Number one, he called upon the Lord. You know what that is? That's not church. That's not a church service. That's not corporate worship. That is a personal worship time with God. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord. Not the whole group, he. So husband, number one in your priority and your list ought to be your devotional time and prayer time and worship time to God. Make time to read your Bible. Make time to pray for your family. Make time to do that. Say, I can't. I do not have time. Go to bed earlier without watching television and get up earlier. Amen. Sometimes on Sunday mornings, it blows my mind. Do you realize that we start church the same time every Sunday morning? It never changes. We have prayer at 9:30 and Sunday school at 9:45. It's been the same way for 4 or 5 years now. Same time. We don't move it every week. Amen. So what do? You get in bed the night before. Have your clothes laid out. Get up and go to church. Amen. Make time to spend time with God. Make time for personal devotion worship. So number one, he did that. Number two, he pitched a tent. You say, what's that a type of? That's a type of his family, his home, his wife. He worshiped God first, and then he took care of the house, took care of his wife's needs, took care of his family. And then three, then he digged a well. That ought to be the priority in your life. God, family, wife, then job. When you get in the ministry and you're working, that gets really hard to do. Brother Brian's going to see that soon. It gets hard, but you gotta make it happen. Because, man, wouldn't it be a shame to win all of Coleman to the Lord, win all of Hayden to God, and lose your own family? Man, that'd be a shame. They only ever hear preaching on Sunday mornings. That, you know, they need to hear the Bible devotion, Bible worship every day from their dad. If the dad's not doing it, mom, read the Bible and pray with them. And husband, if you're not doing it, start doing it. You got to start somewhere. We all started somewhere. Start somewhere. Amen. You say, I don't know. I don't know where to do. What? Just go read some verses. And what does God tell you about those verses? That's all you have to do for devotion. And if you pray about it, say, God, would you give me something out of this verse? And go read it to your family and just whatever God lays on your heart. If he don't lay something, then just tell what you think about it. Amen. Start somewhere with some devotion time. And take care of your family and then in the job. We all have to have a job. We gotta have money. But does the Bible not say that God knows that we need these things? Where is it over in Matthew? He said that he knows that we have need of things, clothing and raiment. What did he tell us to do? Take no what? Thought. Take no thought on those things. What you shall eat and what you shall wear. God knows. God knows what you need. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things, the food, the raiment, shall be added unto you. Amen. God knows you have to work, but put your priorities right. And if that job consumes you or whatever the case might be, pray, do right, and God will work it out. He'll help you. I've seen it in my life time and time again. Yeah, go ahead, read it. Yeah. Amen. God knows. Amen. God knows. And I'm going to say this, and you take it for whatever it's worth to you. But I do not believe it's God's will for someone to have their job take them out of church all the time. I don't believe it. And I know people have to work sometimes. I understand that. In some cases, they work because they want to, not because they have to. In some cases, they do have to. Their job requires them to do that. You say, what do? You pray and ask God to give you another one. And guess what he'll do? He'll give you another one. Well, I'm not making as much money. Well, guess what? How's God still paying all the bills and take care of it? He's blessing you. Maybe those set of tires go way longer than what they're supposed to. Maybe that washing machine that should have died 10 years ago with your grandma is still running. I don't know. Just trust God. If a man is not putting his whole heart, back in the verse we just read, if he's not putting his whole heart into his wife and his job, then he will not fulfill his portion. You say, what's his portion? His purpose. His purpose in life. Amen? A man's task in this life is taking care of his wife and fulfilling his work. And again, a part of your work is ministry. Somebody asked me the other day, I said something about being bivocational. I said, oh, you work full time for the company I work for and you're part time at the church? I said, no, I'm full time at the church and full time at my job. It's just part time at the church. Whether or not I work 60 hours a week or whatever does not matter. I still have to get up and preach Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights. Amen. And if God sees fit to do that my whole life, then to God be the glory. God's been good to me. I'll do it. God decides to grow the church, but I don't have to. Then, you know what? If God changes that and one day maybe I can go full time at the church, he's going to give me more to do. I've never known a pastor that was a real man of God that didn't go full time at the church, that he didn't go busier than what he was before he quit his job. Why? There's always something to do for him. Amen. And I might. Who knows? And if that's the case, then praise the Lord. That's what we'll do. But you know what? I'm full time in the ministry. You ought to be full time in the ministry also. You should. So what do you mean by that? You ought to be witnessing to people. You ought to be giving out tracts. You ought to be at soul winning. You ought to be at the nursing home. Amen. That's ministry. If you're saved, you ought to be a part of the ministry. And I'm going to stop right there. Because next week we're going to go over to Malachi and we're going to look at the covenant of a relationship and look at the husband's aspect of that. And again, I know who I'm preaching to tonight. There's also a lot of young couples in here. We got people that are not married and you need to hear these things and you need to try to follow them. Amen. and pray that God will give you a marriage that is pleasing to Him. And for those that have had to go through divorce, thank God you hadn't quit. You're still in church. You're trying to do something for Him. Amen. Thank God, man. Serve the Lord. All of a sudden, because you feel like something happened in your life and you messed up, and now all of a sudden God's not good enough for you to keep serving Him. You say, well, I'm not good enough. What are you trying to say about Him? You trying to say His blood's not good enough? Man, serve God. Do something for Him. Amen? All right, let's all stand.